Hello and welcome to episode 340 something or other of the Hooniverse podcast. I'm your host Jeff. When my buddy Ron is here as well. What's up, Ron?
Hey, what's happening? Am I just your buddy now? Have I been demoted? Am I no longer?
You're my buddy, my pal. Yeah, co-host.
I mean, first and foremost, yes.
Okay. I thought that was more important than co-host.
It is, absolutely.
Okay.
I shouldn't say demoted, but I didn't know if I was declassified, I guess.
You're a fucking homeboy. we're kicking this off with some auction action. Just having trouble saying
auction
that.
Action.
I wrote down awesome and awful auction action because I love alliteration. And we haven't done that in a while, so I'm rolling it out. We're going to start with the awful first. And these are not awful cars. I want to get that out of the on the record. I just think the prices are
maybe
insane.
Awful deals.
Well, they might not be. One of them is not an awful deal relative to what other people are paying in the market. It's still just an insane price. But the first one is a 1977 Pontiac Trans Am. Now, this car is gorgeous. I sent you a photo. Car's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Perfect wheels, the right color, all the good stuff. Also, it has an LS1.
Okay. Does it have AC?
I don't know. I have the link up. I'm not doing the link.
That's crucial. Yeah, that's fine. Don't send me the link.
Because
game. But
also,
I do have questions.
Also, because when I was having stuff pop up on the visual side of the podcast, it was like making the files crappy and stuff like that. So let's see if it has, it has vintage air.
Okay. All right. That's
a good one. And it has a spare CB radio system because hell yeah. Now, what do you think this car would go for? Really clean LS1.
LS1, is the interior really custom or is it like just stock seats?
They're like period correct looking Recaros and it's all black. Okay. Dash looks correct.
I forgot. Does it have like stock 15-inch wheels or like 17s? Or
it has the 17-inch snowflake wheels.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Where was this? Bring a Trailer?
Florida.
No, but was it? Did you find it on Bring a Trailer?
They're all Bring a Trailer. So
okay. All right. Good.
Okay. That's a very good question.
Yeah, dude. Like, yes, it is. I'm going to guess that car went for about between $150,000
and $170,000.
$160,000.
Bang on. Damn
good.
It's an awful.
Look this up, but that's amazing.
That is really good. I have it in the awful section because I know it has an LS1 and that solves the problem.
Man, I wouldn't pay that much. I wouldn't pay half that for one of those cars.
100%. That's where I'm going.
I love them. I love them. I have a Smokey and the Bandit movie poster as like featured artwork in my home. I love the movie. It's my favorite piece of American cinema. And I like everybody in that movie was my idol growing up. So it's not that I don't care for the car or the culture behind it. But those cars, a sick one with like the right level of performance and like pro touring stance and handling and all that. Maybe pay 70, 80 grand for them.
Right. Bananas.
Me personally. I can see the numbers too.
And we're back. Oh my God. All right. So it's another night. I'm wearing the same shirt because I showered last night.
I was just about to ask, Bugs, was I supposed to wear what I was wearing last night?
No. I worked out before the podcast last night. So I put the shirt on after that. So then I woke up with it and I haven't showered yet today. So I'm wearing the same shirt. we had technical difficulties. This is a day later, but everything seems good.
Are we picking up?
We're picking up.
Okay.
We're picking up.
We're able to salvage that footage.
yeah. I checked. It's good. Don't worry. Your perfect guess is in there. So now we go to the next car.
Mm-hmm.
1971, we're rolling in like we were doing this.
Yeah.
Like fucking so pissed about last night. Yeah. 1971, Mercedes-Benz 280 SE Cabriolet. Now I have this marked under the awful. I will say moss green metallic is my favorite Mercedes color and probably the color I want to do my own wagon someday. This car is 82,000 miles. These cars do go for a lot of money. Mm-hmm. What do you think this one went for.
Is it restored? Is it original? Is it?
It's perfect. I don't know if it's been restored. Hold on. Let me check that for you. It underwent a refurbishment in 1998.
Okay.
It looks flawless, though.
I'm not going to ask a million questions, but I got one more. Does it say how many miles since that refurbishment?
That's a great question. I don't see how many miles since the refurbishment. The engine looks like you could eat off of it. Okay. Let's see. No, it doesn't say how many miles since the refurbishment.
I'm going to guess 280K, but I would guess
130,000. 311.
God damn!
What? Now, all the comments, these are cars that were going for 200 just a few years ago.
Yeah.
Before COVID. All the comments on this one are saying it's well bought. And I was like, what the fuck are they talking about? One went at Sotheby's for almost 700.
Yeah, but I mean, apples to apples, like, I'm sure that car was like recently restored, like fucking perfect, or original fucking no mile car. Like, I don't know, man. That's it's a decent amount of miles.
Crazy.
Yeah. That's wild, man. Good for
wild.
Good for wild. The seller. I hope it was somebody that like inherited from like a parent or a grandparent or some shit.
Right, right. Oh, that'd be so sick. And those cars rocketed in value ever since the Hangover. From the first Hangover.
Yeah.
Yeah. That pushed, they were already like valuable Benzes to like Benz lovers, you know? Yeah. And then people who didn't really know about that car but had money and wanted, right. They're like, saw that. They're like, oh, that's the dopest Benz.
It's the absolute last movie that I would expect to drive up collector car pricing.
Yep. Yeah. And they used more than one in the movie, too. So.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't make a lot of them. Like,
did you look to see if any of those movie cars sold? Ever?
There's like one that was like the clean movie car, and it went for a lot of money a couple years ago.
Nice.
But now we move on to the awesome. I don't know if you remember the pictures, but this is a 19.
I went and I looked back.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
1966 Pontiac Catalina, dark blue, so blue it looks blackish, with a light blue interior. It's just, it's a really gorgeous car.
Fuck. It sounds like a car for Killer Mike.
This is, this is on the awesome side of the auction now. Remember?
Meaning, you think it was a good buy? It was well bought? It was stolen?
Yes.
Okay.
Well bought. Ask any questions you want about this car.
It was a hard top, right? Or was it convertible?
Yeah. It's a four-door, hardtop. Okay. Big dog, slats over the rear wheels. Just gorgeous, gorgeous machine.
I'm going to guess 21,000.
9,600.
God damn, where did that sell?
That, yes.
Bring it to
this car was stolen.
Where was it? Physically, where was it located? It was
located in Farmers Branch, Texas, which I don't know what the fuck that is. The seller acquired the car in 2013 and then exported it out of the U.S., I believe, to Canada or... I don't know, somewhere else. And then it came back into the U.S. in 2022.
AKA drove.
Yeah, I don't know. Built in Texas, sold new in Oklahoma. Got a 389
V8. I don't know. I still feel like four-doors, you know, get slept on. But a cool fucking four-door, you know, definitely can be as cool as most bullshit fucking, like, customized coupes. My buddy...
I think you're right.
My buddy Matt has a matte black, gloss black, two-tone 56 Chevy sedan. But, you know, it's postless, so all four windows go down. So it's just like having...
Postless
like
is big.
Yeah. Yeah. And that car is slammed. It's super intimidating. It's like all blacked out. And I think he's got like an LS2 or something in it. And you really don't even remember that it's a four-door. I think the handles are shaved and shit, but he's Matt Black Unicorn on Instagram. Go check it out. But
I know that car. That car's sick.
Yeah. Yeah, I've cruised around with him a couple times from different events and stuff, and he's super chill, but that car is just super sexy, and it's perfect because he wanted a family cruiser because he, you know, had young kids, and it's just like that postless look, like when you can let all four windows down, that thing's sitting on the ground on big wheels, like, you know, you can make them look cool, but they're like sometimes a quarter of the price of their coupe equivalents.
Yeah, well, and so if I were to find an old big boat, I would want a four-door just because I have the kiddo in the back seat. Though some of these cars are big enough where it's easy to get back there. But totally. I like sedans. And postless is like sweet. And then if it has a post, it's the price is even lower.
Right, exactly.
It's like
you don't see like from, Chevelle sedans. Like they sold them. That was like one of the most popular cars that Chevrolet sold back in the 60s and 70s. But you just don't see them anymore because they were not valued. They weren't prized. They're worth more for scrap at some point in their life than they were as collector cars. But
yeah,
they actually like, you know, a 70 Chevelle sedan, like with like SS hood and grill and shit, like can look fucking cool.
Yep. 100%. 100%. This car, whoever bought this, is incredibly well bought. The dark blue is gorgeous. So that's on the awesome list. Let me close these out. And then our final awesome choice is a 1978 Little Red Express.
Hell yes.
I love these trucks.
Fuck yeah, I do
this
too.
This one's in California. It looks like just a nice, clean example. It has air conditioning. It has KYB shocks. It has a Kenwood head unit, so it's not like it's not totally stock, but it has like beefy rear tires, and you know, it looks like the seats might have been refinished at one point. But
damn, when you say beefy rear tires, it makes me wonder if that's Max Vandenberg. I think he works at Race Service, and I saw him at like one of the local meets here in Long Beach, and it had super wide, whatever. Like it may have been tires. Yeah.
I remember, what did his
plate
say?
That's what stood out about it. Oh, shit, I don't remember.
Because I met him once at the first Autopia. He showed up because Race Service handled the live wire part of it. Uh-huh. And he shows up to this electric car show early in the morning. And I'm like blown away. I'm like, this is fucking so
sick. Hell yeah.
And I know they've owned, it says it was recently acquired by the current owner. So it must not be him because I think they've had that truck for a while.
Oh, okay, cool.
Like I think that truck's been in the family.
Okay. Yeah. I don't remember the whole history of him with that truck, but I was just reminded because I don't think like super wide tires like were stock. I think they had just like skinny like chrome steelies from the factory, or like Anson style sprint wheels or something like that. But
this has American racing wheels.
Oh yeah, oh nice,
16-inch American racing wheels with
16s. Really? That's random.
Yeah,
as
and
fuck.
It says Cooper Cobra radials up front, but then Mickey Thompson's in the back.
Dude, I swear that's Max's truck. He had Mickey Thompson's.
Really?
Anyway, all right. If you say it was well bought, I'm going to say that's probably $25,000,
$27,000.
$25,500. Yeah, buddy.
Nailing it. I mean, unless Max just sold it and then this guy's flipping it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they own that truck. I thought he told me like
it's possible there's more than two Little Red Express with wide
for
tires
sure.
And wide wheels and Mickey Thompson's. I feel like he's at Krager's, but I'm not entirely certain. They might have been Krager's.
I feel like talking to him is like, it was like, this thing's been in the family forever.
Like
we're not selling it. Blah, blah. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. That's the
shit
awesome.
Shit happens, though.
Auction app.
Shit
that's true. That is true.
I just got video today of the last day, literally the last night that I had the Tahoe, that must have been almost 2 months ago. Around 2 months ago, and it was getting picked up by the transporter the next day. And Sam Dobbins, our friend and, you know, photography wizard, like he was like, he had sold his GTI and they were going to go shoot rollers.
Oh, that's gone?
Yeah, he sold that. It stayed in their neighborhood and kind of in our like circle.
That's
it's got to be super weird like to drive down the street and see your old car that you poured your heart and soul into building, and now it's like being changed to somebody else's taste, but he don't give a fuck. He got his money and he's
over it.
And that's how I felt about the Tahoe until I saw this video roller from Jolly from Hoonigan, my nephew. He just posted it to his story today. Didn't even tag me, like no hoopla. He just posted this video set to like a TI soundtrack. Yeah. And I was just like, God damn, that truck looks so good. I'd never seen it rolling myself. I'd never seen it driving, moving without, you know, being in the driver's seat. So yeah, seeing those like sunset rollers just cruising like in Long Beach, I was just like, fuck, I want another one. I want it back.
Yeah, but you know what's better than that? Cash in the Bank's better.
Yeah, right, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Now, moving away from the auction shit, we have two subjects you wanted to talk about. I'll let you kick off the first one. I'll tee it up. It's Amelia Hartford and the Z06.
Yeah, Amelia Hartford is like Chevrolet and the C8 like poster child now. Like they've abandoned their kind of like standard vehicle rollout and introduction. Like through, I can't say like they're not sharing the car through normal, you know, auto journalist routes, but they're leaning heavy into YouTube influencers and like, you know, the straight pipes and like everybody, you know, release their Z06 videos to tons of fanfare this week. Everybody absolutely loves it. So it's a legit supercar fighter. Like it's not like, oh, well for the money, like it's pretty good, but they're like, this is legit.
No caveats.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I'm super proud of GM for that. And I think it's crazy that, you know, they've basically enlisted Amelia as kind of like a factory test driver, at least their factory influencer test driver. Like, you know, they're public facing like ambassador, I guess.
They gave her the car to do things that they probably weren't fully allowed to do.
Sure. Like, it makes sense. It gets around a lot. But also, it's like, you know, it's cool that somebody like her is, like, elevated to that stature and, like, came up making YouTube videos. I remember seeing one of her first videos when she was, like, drifting her S13 or S14 or whatever. And it's like, I think it was, like, her first attempt at drifting. And I was just like, oh, that's cool. Like, you know, like, it'll be interesting to see how this develops and if she goes into drifting legitimately or, you know, what path she takes. Like, I was genuinely interested, so it's cool to see her working with an OE. But yeah. Anyway, the point of all this is that she basically set the world record in the car in the quarter mile at 10:50 at like 130 something miles an hour, and I was just like, holy shit, that is fucking fast for a Corvette or any supercar. Like, it's fucking quick. Like, I don't know if the car runs 0 to 60. I'm sure it's like low twos.
It's twos.
God damn, 10:05 stop.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
It's wild.
I mean, I know it's not 720 territory, but the car stickers for just over $100,000.
Those are nines, I think, right? 720s are in the nines. I got to give Amelia Hartford a lot of credit because I'll be completely honest. I haven't followed her like everybody else has followed her. And anytime I saw anytime I saw her pop up, I'm going to preface this by saying I'm going to sound like a real asshole here. I was a bit of a hater. I just assumed she was one of these like pretty faces who did, you know, the flouting and the drove the car and blah, blah, blah. And I have no problem admitting I am 100% wrong. She is a driver. She is a wrencher. She is passionate about this shit. She loves it. Anybody I've talked to who've worked with her, from Farah to other people, they're like, no, Amelia's fucking fantastic. And everything she's done, she's built the shit out of her channel and her brand and all this stuff. Yeah. So it's not like I was out there like bashing her, but sure. I don't like to bash people, but I do want to say that I just looked at her and dismissed it as like, oh, it's another like good looking chick just doing, and it's like, which is a very dismissive and terrible attitude. And I'm very happy to be proven wrong. Not that it's up to me to be one to be proven anything, because, you know, who the fuck am I? But Amelia seems like pretty awesome. And
I don't know her. I've never worked with her, but, you know, it takes a tremendous amount of work ethic and planning and strategy to grow a channel into like what she's done, what TJ Hunt has done, Stradman, like, you know, all these Divorce. People like Freddie, like I don't watch any of their shit, to be honest with you. Like, I do feel like it's targeted to a younger customer or audience. It's not for me, but I'm super impressed with all of them and what they've managed to accomplish and kind of amass and like build empires around that shit.
Yeah, it's you can't just roll into it and fall into a million sub channel. It takes
absolutely not.
My channel, like, made it to 40 and then it hasn't even made it to 50 yet. My channel made it to like 40 something real easily, and I was like, oh cool, we're coasting. And then like it's been at 40 something for years. Mm-hmm. Because I don't have a plan. I don't have the drive that these people have. I also have like other jobs that I have to do. Like if I put my head down and really figure this shit out, maybe I could have done it, which is so funny to me, because in the beginning, before Freddie started his channel, he asked me for some advice, which is hilarious to me. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's crazy.
It's really impressive. Like that shit doesn't just happen. You're not just fucking around on camera and getting
it's work,
you know, to become a GM brand ambassador for their like most coveted, you know, production car ever.
Yeah. My brother has the C8, you know, and he was asking, he's like, Z06 is going to start at 100. I'm like, bro, you don't worry about it.
Double that.
You're not
double
even going to be on the list. You got nothing. I'm like, if you really want to jump power levels over your current C8, like we can talk. Like, I mean, because I know you're doing well, maybe like some kind of like basic 911 or something like that. Yeah. But it was funny because my dad was just visiting him in Texas, and he let my dad drive a C8. Mm-hmm. And he sent me a video, and my dad's just like cruising down the street in it, like this car's amazing. I should buy a Porsche. My dad is not. Doesn't really make that much money at all. Like he never has. We were always a lower middle class family at best, because he was a Navy guy, and then he worked for the state after. So like, you know, and so he's always like, he works and then he like switches jobs a lot because he has Navy pension and state pension to fall back on, and he doesn't like stick with a job. And now he's like a good job in the mortgage industry, helping people refinance their homes who are going to lose them. Uh-huh. And it specifically works with minorities and disenfranchised. So it's actually like a really interesting job. Cool. Yeah. And it's he's like, oh man, when I get home, I think I'm going to buy maybe a Cayenne or something. I'm like, you told me 20 years ago you were going to buy a Porsche. Not that you could have afforded it then. I don't know if you can afford it now, but like, I don't know what you think they cost. I don't like, because you know what he drives right now? You know what my dad drives right now? A Kia Seltos.
What? Do they even sell that in America?
It's a compact crossover. It is a totally fine commuter vehicle. Wait, and his car before that was a Honda Accord.
I've never even heard of this car. I mean, it's not my job to know every single car on the market, but Seltos? I've never even heard of
it. It is a totally acceptable commuter compact crossover. Before that, he had an Accord, which was a great car. He loved it. He talked about how fast it was. And so he drove my brother's C8. He's like, I'm buying a Porsche. I'm like, the fuck? First of all, you're Jewish as fuck. You are Jewish as fuck. And I'm saying this because he's actually Jewish. I'm not like being like anti-Semitic. My dad is Jewish, so he's never going to buy a Porsche.
I don't know why you felt,
because he's not like Zuckerman and Ferriston Jewish. Like, we don't have money. My family doesn't have any fucking money. neither my mom or my dad own their own homes. Like, nobody has money over there. So I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. So every time my dad says that shit, it makes me laugh. And another random dad thing, he pronounces Audi as Audi, which drives me batshit insane. And then he what was the other one I was gonna say? I don't know. There's a bunch of car shit. He had, before the Accord, he had an Explorer. And it was the V6, and he's like, it's as fast as the V8, though. I'm like, okay. And I was like, I loved it. I'm like, you know what I do for work, right? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? The 5-liter V8 Explorer? Yeah, it's just, okay. Right.
Dude, your dad sounds like my grandfather. My grandfather was, you know, retired as long as I was alive. Like, he retired in 1979. And, he raised me. Like, he and my grandmother made, like, huge sacrifices to allow me to grow up under their roof, right? So I'm forever grateful for that. But my grandfather just like was always into cars. Mm-hmm. He let me modify, like he let me talk him into buying an 84 F-150 brand new. Had to be 4x4, had to be lifted, had to have like the chrome wheels, the chrome roll bar with the lights. Like, I wanted basically the Ford version of the Fall Guy truck, right?
Okay, yeah.
I'm four, and I have this influence on him, and he goes and does everything to like my taste. Like, wow. It was the coolest shit ever. Fucking pulling up to carpool, fucking, you know, getting picked up at school. Like, we were instant celebrities every fucking day. It was the shit.
Nice.
But, you know, he always wanted like a Mercedes SL, and like,
oh,
he like loved the SL and also the Jaguar XJS. He can never find. He always like talked to one of my like friends and like classmates and soccer teammates. Like when I was 8, 9, 10 o'clock, 10 years old. Excuse me. God damn it! Hang on. Fucking ring notifications. Sorry. So, anyway, like one of my friends and classmates in like 3rd, 4th grade, 10, 11, 12 years old, some shit like that, had a Mercedes service shop. So my grandfather was always fucking like talking his ear off, trying to buy like a fucking car that came in for service and like somebody couldn't pay the bill, like, you know, trying to get a fucking deal on an SL. It never fucking happened. Thank God. I hate those cars.
I know. But it's so weird.
In high school, he bought like 90, and this was 97. He bought like a 90, 89, or 90 XJS. He's a fucking retired cop, like fucking on pension, on a fixed income. Yeah, yeah. He had bought my Mustang, my 93 GT Mustang is my first car, and then he bought this XJS. And me and my grandmother looking at him like, bro, who's paying for this? Like, where is this fucking money coming from? Like, you don't do nothing. You don't work. You don't have like side jobs anymore. Like, and like he basically went broke owning that car because every time I drove it, it broke down and needed like $1,500 trans service or fuel injection service. And I appreciate him for chasing his dreams, but it was like, bro, you can't afford this. Like, like, what are you doing?
Oh shit, that's funny. All right, moving on from Amelia. Go ahead.
But I still encourage your dad to get a Porsche.
Yeah, I mean, if he can afford it, sure. But
even if he can't, let him learn.
No, he's actually. I don't get my. I love to like waste money, and I do not get it from him. Like, he is actually Jewish, and my mom is Catholic, so that's why she's even broker than him. Oh shit, she listens to this. Sorry, mom. sorry. You know you use all my logins for streaming services.
I thought they cracked down on that. I thought you couldn't do that anymore.
I don't know. It seems like it's working. Okay. So, moving off from Miss Amelia's amazing accomplishment.
Yeah.
C63.
Tangent.
C63.
Dude, I mean, what do you know about it? What do you think about it? I definitely want to talk about it, but like, I want to hear your perspective as well. Like, you know, I'm not.
I think. Technically, it's amazing. The new C63 has been announced, for those of you who don't know. And this marks the first non, like, real deal V8 AMG. Well, there's been other, like,
63. AMGs. Well, yeah. No, it's the first C63 or C-AMG.
Right.
That didn't offer a V8 as, like, the top tier option since, like, 19...
Since the 43. Since the 43.
1996, 97, 98?
Now, I think they need to stop calling it a C63, and they should just call it like a C-AMG. Just call it a C-AMG.
Yeah, I would support that.
So for those of you who haven't heard, it is a four-cylinder turbo with a battery electric hybrid backing it up. And it makes, I think, 671 horsepower and
750 pounds-feet of torque,
which is
sick.
Fucking crazy in any Mercedes, never mind a C-Class. And they're in the in Europe, they do it in the wagon.
Oh God, that is a goddamn dream car.
So it doesn't sound like shit. It sounds like nothing.
Well, see, that's what I thought, and that's exactly why I wanted to talk about this, because I saw a video, like, from the outside, like, Johnny posted, like, some video of the car cruising around the track, and not cruising, it was being pushed aggressively, and it sounded like nothing. Sounded like nothing. But I watched a video, like, an in-depth, like, ride and drive and, you know, tech, like, deep dive, and from inside the car, it was like, you know, the whatever journalist was, some British journalist, like, wasn't allowed to drive the car, but they did a ride along with, like, one of the, like, heads of AMG or whatever.
Yeah.
The fucking car sounds sick from inside. It sounds like half a V8, not a four-cylinder. And I know that sounds weird, but I don't give a shit. Like, the shifts were so fucking quick. Like, the comment that the journalist made was, it feels like you've got four first gears. And, like, it sounded like that, too. It's like, bop, 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 bop. Wow. Like, you 0 to 60 went into third gear. But, like, it's fucking clicking off so quick. Like, it sounds and feels, well, I imagine what it feels like, but it sounds almost like an F1 car going through the gears. It's like, oh, the ratios are so close. Yeah, just like so closely spaced. And then, you know, it's like clearly providing the thrust. Like the car is fucking moving. So I think those electric motors are only in the rear axle. I think it's,
I would imagine, yeah, usually
rear drive. So it like supplants the four cylinder. But
yeah, usually,
anyhow,
usually
like when the usually when they like set them up like this,
it's like the gas engine will drive the front axle, and then the electrics will drive the rear.
Yeah, which is so weird. It sounds backwards, but you know, you get so much torque from the electric motors. I'm pretty sure that it was like a battery transaxle.
But what you can do with the torque vectoring of the motors makes it make, that's where it's the game changer.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But I, you know, that's a car that I've always been interested in. Like, one of the best cars I ever drove was CEC's C63 that Klaus had built for Bull Run Rally, and that was when I worked for Klaus, whatever, like more than 10 years ago. But yeah, it was, that car was just like a supercar killer. Like, it was set up properly, like tuned, full exhaust. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was the best one.
I kind of glossed over that, but yeah, it was a 6.2 liter like built motor.
That one was the monster.
Full exhaust and tune, like it was done properly. And like I would go on like road rallies with back then luxury foreplay L4P. Do you remember that, like site or forum? So I don't know if we sponsored it, but I don't know how I was involved. But like, you know, I made many of friends there, and they would have like exotic car rallies in Southern California, and they were free to attend. And you just show up in pretty much anything, like, you know, but there's a lot of Lambos, a lot of Gallardos, Mercies, GTRs, you know, for all these events.
Lamborghini Mercy. Yep.
Yeah. But I remember once we drove from like Santa Monica to Malibu, and we took Canyons for most of the way. And like when we got to the parking lot, we got to, where was it? Shit, right on the fucking water in Malibu. I don't know. I think
Dukes,
there, but no. The beach there, Paradise Cove.
That's what
We went to Paradise Cove for lunch, and I was with like the front group, which was like Mercy's, Gallardo's, and shit. And when we parked, this dude jumped out of his Gallardo wearing fucking alligator fucking boots, like he just looked country as fuck, and he was like, "Who's in that Mercedes? You're aggressive." And I was just like, "That's me." I was like, "That is me." Like, I was on this dude's ass the entire time. I'm like, "Fucking go." Like, he wasn't like a total slouch, but it was just like that car just felt so planted and capable.
Yeah.
That like I've been super attached to them since. And I'm just like, C63 is like the best car for the money if you can fit in it. And like,
and probably, you know, way like, easier to drive at speed than the Murcielago.
100%.
I'm gonna die. I'm wearing these dumb fucking boots. I'm gonna die.
Get off my ass, man.
Right.
But all that is to say, like, it's a car that I've always like been super interested in. It's been on my radar, and like when I saw that it was switching to four cylinder hybrid drivetrain, I was just like, man, fuck, like they ruined it. They fucking, this sucks. Like, I don't want anything to do with it. But like, I don't know if I'm getting old, but like, yes, I'm a V8, hardcore V8 dude, always have been, but like that, just that one little video with the in-car sound and the power delivery has me thinking, you know, like this downsizing and turbocharging and hybridization, like this isn't all bad. Like,
yeah,
you can still get like the visceral driving feel and have exciting sounds from something other than the V8.
No, I gotta find that video.
I'll find it. It's in my YouTube history. I'll share it, and you can even link it or whatever. But like,
you can't
until I experience. Until I experience it personally, you know, I think I'm sold. I don't know, but it just doesn't seem. It's like I feel like AMG knows their customer base for that car, and they are capitulating, and they're giving us at least some of what we want, right, even though, you know, it's not possible to do a twin turbo 700 horsepower V8 in a compact saloon anymore. Like, and they're just like, we're not forced to do this. It's not that we can't make and sell a more efficient and more powerful twin turbo V8. It's just that this like is derived from our F1 technology.
Yeah.
And you know, we need to kind of capitalize on that because it's more efficient and it's kind of the wave of the future.
It'd be also be sick if that powertrain winds up in like the next Vantage, you know, or something like that.
That would be wild.
That would be dope. That would be dope.
I mean, you know, power is power. And like, power is power. I don't love the sound of a four cylinder, but this, nope. Like I said, it sounds different than any four cylinder I've ever heard. It really sounds like half a V8. Like a Audi five cylinder sounds like half a V10.
Yes.
That's what this sounded like to me. Yeah. And yeah, it could have been manufactured sound, but I don't give a shit as long as I get to hear it.
Okay. Jumping to questions. Midnight Drifto on Twitter asks, someone hands you the keys to WeatherTech's marketing budget. How do you fix automotive media?
Jesus Christ.
Well, it has to be a combination effort because I actually thought about this question. So the problem is that the people who buy these companies, they need them to make money. The way that you get some companies who get around it is that you have someone like a Hagerty who is an insurance company. So they make their money from the insurance. They don't make their money from the content. The content is kind of a bonus. Which is why they're creating some of the best content visually right now. So you would have to have a combination of some of the stuff that Hagerty is doing, some of the stuff that Carfection does, and then you would have to have just some like long form, really good written pieces. So you'd have to have writers comfortable enough to do longer form stuff without worrying about that day-to-day grind. And that's difficult. But if you had WeatherTech's marketing budget, you could do something like that. So if you had enough of a talented team that could turn out stuff on a near daily basis, but have it be spread out enough and these people working on some like top tier stories, like what Alana Scher does and Brendan McAleer and a Sam Smith. So you give them the money to do what they're really good at and then don't stress over them not churning out fucking 10 to 20 news pieces in a day for $20 a post and whatever the other bullshit is. So it's tough. I don't know how else you could do it without just having the content not being the thing. It has to be where the content is the thing that doesn't make you the money. And that's really difficult to find unless you are like a Hagerty. You know, maybe right now, one of the sites that could potentially do it, even though it doesn't fit with their narrative and they do not need to do it, is Bring a Trailer. Bring a Trailer has already cleared $1 billion in sales in 2022. So if they added more content, they don't give a shit about the eyeballs on it. It just would be something to round out their site. But they, again, do not need to do that at all. Yeah. That's about it. I don't know.
You are absolutely right, and I'm going to have to censor myself because I think the worst thing to happen to the automotive aftermarket and automotive media is corporate conglomeration, and I work for one of those conglomerates, and it seems like our mission is to purchase as many brands to extend our reach as possible, and that's the case with a number of other entities within the industry, including Hagerty.
Yes.
And
truth.
You know, you lose authenticity. It's just a fact. Like when you answer to a board, when you answer to shareholders, you know, it's really hard to maintain authenticity and personality. And it's a natural byproduct that when you have so many brands under one roof that you eliminate redundancy and you also eliminate the character and the personality of all these brands in the name of profits. And that's as bad as much as I could say.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Next question.
I mean, I don't mean to be fucking Debbie Downer, but like
you are accurate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Herbert Cornfield at 4x5. E39M5, last great partially analog saloon or the best partially analog saloon? I shit on modern BMW a lot, especially with some of the shit that's been happening. Oh my God, like that M2 that leaked, just burn that car.
We talked about it last week or 2 weeks ago. Right. Whatever. Like, I feel like BMW has just become a character of itself. They're just like, what can we do
right
to absolutely alienate our fan base? And like, I feel like they're trolling us all.
Yeah, I agree. I drove an E39 M5 briefly. Shout out Rick Radcliffe. He had one that was like technically, like, I think it was technically going to be lemon lawed or something. I drove it for 10 minutes and it was 100% a meet your heroes moment. 400 horsepower manual gearbox, like great era of BMW styling because it was simple. Yep. That car, I still think about that car. That car was that fucking good. And I drove it for 10 minutes and it was like, not the best example. And
I've never driven one, but I'm dying to.
I'll
have to have one.
I have to have one, exactly. I still think of the BMW films with Guy Ritchie, with the Madonna.
I have
one.
A DVD.
I had both DVDs because they came out with the second season, right? And I let someone borrow them, and I never saw them again. And I
motherfucker.
I don't even.
I'm sure they're on YouTube. I'm sure you.
They are, but the quality sucks. Yeah. Because I had both seasons, because there's like, dude, there's so many good ones in there. But yes, I think it is the last great analog sedan, 100%.
Yeah.
I can't think of another good one that matches.
I've never driven, but I mean, it's not nearly as special, but, I hear that the Chevy SS with Magna Ride was.
Chevy SS is good. There's something more. There's something more direct and raw about the M5 while still being a luxury sedan.
Yeah.
And then I just thought you could also say like the CTS-V manual. What is that, the second gens?
Yeah, but the interior sucked. Like,
no, right. The BMW was perfect.
Yes, right. Exactly. It's just like getting into a CTS-V, it was just like, it was always like, man, this is just a Camaro with like some fucking Alcantara and some fake wood. It's still
pretty cool though. 556.
The car is fucking cool. I'm just talking about the interior. I'm just saying.
Like, okay.
It wasn't luxurious. It wasn't befitting what a Cadillac should have been.
Was now
in the 2000s.
Right. Now they are again. They're back. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Instagram questions. Alex Cartwright _89. Will there ever be any laws put in place for e-bikes regarding speed and safety? A lot of people are working on this because
there should be.
There has to be, because right now, especially in Orange County where I live, there's like these dumb fucking parents who buy their kids these Surons, which are basically like a step below dirt bikes. And I see these kids ripping through neighborhoods without helmets at speeds that are fucking scary. And it's wild that there's been accidents where people have died on these things.
Yeah, I was gonna say Litwin Blake or Chastity. I don't even know, like, whatever. Just like let one kid flip on one of those and crack their skull open, and that whole industry is doing.
But people have been working on the laws for them for a while. Some of the e-bike companies are working with the legislators to get the laws in place, because if they're a company that already follows the laws, it only helps when they are already abiding by the laws ahead of time. So it makes sense. Like Super 73 is paying close attention to this stuff, and I mean, most of them are, but that those Surons are. While I want to ride one and try it, like the average teen I see on one is a reckless youth.
I don't even know how to spell that. Like, I'm good with spelling and grammar, but I don't even know where to start.
Mine Coffee Clash asks, what do you think is the sexiest car ever built? I want to preface this by saying, I don't like applying the word sexy to cars because I do not want to fuck them.
I do.
Did you say I do?
Yeah, I do. I do find cars sexy, evocative. Like, you know, I don't know. I've spent time thinking about this, and obviously, you know, I have made a career in improving the aesthetics of cars, right? Yeah. Like, ultimately, that's what I do. So, obviously, I spend a lot of time considering car design, styling, detailing, et cetera, et cetera. And I find cars sexy. And I, like, not every car is sexy, but you can make cars sexier, and you can also identify, like, a sexy car. And, like, I don't think of a car as something that's, like, to lure women. Like, I've right. never, ever made any styling decision on any of my cars. Like, oh, this will, like, the chicks will love this. Like,
that I don't doesn't think, work. No.
I don't think, yeah, in general, women give a shit about what your car looks like, you know, unless they're enthusiasts themselves. But
Right. Yeah, of course.
But to answer that question, Pre-L Pantera is the sexiest fucking car ever built. Like, just beautiful styling, you know, American V8 sound. Like, obviously, I have a special connection to those cars, but to me, that is, like, that's the ultimate. That's, you know, one day I'll have it. One day I'll have one, like, styled to my idea of perfection, but it just doesn't get any better than that. Like, you know, it doesn't need much.
The Pantera, so I'm going to back off what I said before, and I'm going to let myself apply the sexy moniker to stuff. The Pantera looks like the dude who seems like, I'm going to apply you'll understand why I'm calling the guy in a second. The Pantera looks like the guy that a girl would see, or a guy would see across like a college party and be like, wow, that looks like the quiet, like sexy type person. Mm-hmm. And then they go outside and then that car assaults the other person. Like, that Pantera wants the butt and it's taking the butt. Like,
okay.
The Pantera is aggressive. Is aggressive.
Yes. But it's also restrained.
The title of this episode is Pantera Takes the Butt.
Oh my God.
Whereas,
but it's
like,
so restrained. It's like, you know, Countach is shouty and fucking
look
at me.
A Pantera,
bitch,
is an American Countach. A Pantera, it's
not even American.
That's true.
Well, Tatar is
the
American.
Engine is. The engine.
But he's, De Tomaso is Argentinian. But
right.
Anyway, like, it's like we got
that dude was buying Levi's and wished he was fucking, his passport said something different on it. I consider that an American car.
I do too. I mean, it was sold in Lincoln Mercury dealers. So, you know, it.
Could you imagine? Imagine walking past
sold in America.
Imagine walking past the person there to buy like a marquee and be like, fucking loser.
Like, I wish I could ask my dad about that. He bought one new in 72. Oh, like,
what a badass.
It just sounds
what a
so
badass
fucking
decision.
Silly.
Like, oh, yeah. You don't, that's the type of question, that's the type of thing where you are in the position, you do not consult the other person in the relationship. You're like, you're like, I'll be back in an hour.
Full disclosure, though, my dad was Atlanta police officer at the time. He was a motorcycle cop. His girlfriend was obscenely wealthy for the era. So he already had two Mercedes.
Oh,
he
shit.
He had an SEC and an SL, and this is 1972. And from what I understand, those were gifts from his girlfriend and the Pantera he bought for himself. But
wow.
Yeah, like, my dad was a fucking legendary personality. But, you know, like, I feel like I don't know the tip of the iceberg. Because,
like, yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of this shit happened before I was born. But his nickname was Sugar Bear. So, forgive me if I have a special
connection
to this car.
If he was on the beat in the neighborhood, they'd be like, woo woo, Sugar Bear coming through.
It's all ridiculous.
It's like, fucking great. No, or he would just roll in, like, be like, yo, you hear that chop in the distance? Sugar Bear just bought a Pantera. Bop, 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 bop. Fucking
so
awesome.
At his funeral, when I was 15 years old, at his funeral, one of his friends told a story about him street racing a cop car. Like, he used to go to I-20 before it was finished. It was just, you know, a strip of pavement, and he would go down and street race for money in a cop car.
Fucking, that's some boss.
So that's not who raised me, but that is
he's like,
whose blood runs in my veins.
Who threw, yeah, he's like the Atlanta version of the Black Ghost from Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah. exactly.
That's fucking great. Shit, that's awesome. I was going to go with the, like, I mean, there's the stereotypical answer of, you know, everybody says E-Type, which is one of the best designs of all time.
It is.
There's something to be said for that Benz from earlier. That's sure. Just a unbelievable car.
Stately, gentlemanly. Yeah, I imagine people want to fuck when they get out of that thing.
So I got two answers for the same reason. 69 Charger and a 69 Mustang. Now, picture one at night with the lights on, sitting there idling, with like a little bit of mist flowing past the headlights, and just sitting there going chuck 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 chuck, hear that noise, and like camera like does a slow pan past those two cars right there, similar to your Pantera, but just like toned down, to be honest, from the Pantera, where like the Pantera hate fucks you, at least the Mustang, you know, we'll cuddle after, and then the the Charger wants to be the Pantera, but it's like, it's not as, it doesn't have the swagger, but it's still an aggressive experience. Oh fuck, I need more tequila.
What a great question.
It is a good question.
Cheers.
A good question. Yeah. Cheers. I'm gonna let you start this one so I can grab a seltzer. Oh man, I really want tequila though. I'm gonna let you answer this question while I go make another tequila.
All right,
so Cooley 156. No, I'm going to go to the question that's directed at you, and then we'll come back to this one. Ultramotive asks, what's the next race Ron wants to check off his list?
Okay, so for the last 20 plus years, my two bucket list races have been the Bristol Night Race, which we all know, or at least, you know, those few that actually listen to this podcast are aware. I actually got to see that race 3 weekends ago. So since I was a kid, I always wanted to go to the Bristol Night Race and the Monaco Grand Prix. In 1993 or 1994, whenever the Senna F1 game was released on Sega Genesis, that's when I really got into F1 and started paying attention to like the personalities and the exotic locales that F1 visited. And it was really hard to watch and keep up with pre-internet. And, you know, we weren't able to see. I don't even remember where that shit aired. I feel like F1 aired on Speed Vision. It was Speed Vision first. Then it became Speed Channel. And I don't know what else. Velocity. I don't know what else it's been in its history. But I feel like that was the only opportunity you get to watch races. Like, I don't even think I could watch races when I was, like, 13, 14 years old in 93, 94. But definitely Monaco Grand Prix. I would love if I could connect with somebody who had a boat and treat that as like home base. Like, you know, that's the way to do that shit. But yeah, I'm all about doing things the way you're supposed to be doing. Like, you know, I went to the Bristol Night Race with locals and like new fans or like people that hadn't even been exposed to NASCAR. And like, that's always fun to me, is to kind of show somebody motorsport that's never experienced it in person and kind of live through their first time experience and like see the joy and the shock on their face with all the sounds and the access and everything. Like that, honestly, that's my favorite part of attending a race, is taking somebody that's never been to a motorsport event, like whether it's NHRA, whether it's NASCAR. I mean, it's going to be hard to top Monaco Grand Prix, but if there's another bucket list event, it would probably be, I mean, it's not really a competition, but I want to go to either Goodwood Hill Climb, Festival of Speed, or the Revival. And I think I want to go to Festival of Speed first. I heard our buddy Johnny Lieberman, he just went to the Revival or whatever a couple weeks ago. And he was saying Revival is a priority before Festival of Speed. But
that's what they say, and I don't believe it.
Yeah, I'm Festival of Speed first. Like, I want to see all the weird and wacky shit blast up the hill.
So everybody I know says Festival's the best. The secret best is members meeting. Because it's like, everybody says Revival's the best, and then the members meeting is the secret best because it's like Revival but with less people. But for me, and I've only done Festival of Speed, it was the greatest car-related thing I've ever been to.
That's what I anticipate.
So I do want to do Revival someday and dress up and do all that crazy shit. But Festival of Speed has a greater breadth of automobile. It has the rally stage. It has the drifting. It has so much more that I don't see how, like, the racing at Revival would be sick because it's on the actual circuit. And to see those cars pushed would be absolutely incredible. However,
But it's a racetrack and you only have the one perspective.
Yeah.
Like, you know, wherever you're at on the track, you only have that perspective for that moment. And it's what, 30 years worth of cars, 30, 40 years worth of cars.
Amazing cars, but
you're not going to see vintage F1 cars, right? Like 80s, 90s, 2000s F1 cars.
Not only do you see them.
New production hypercars.
Not only do you see them, you walk through the pits and you can touch them. You can see them working on them. I was there and Bardo. I saw, what's his name? Porsche driver, Justin Bell's dad, Derek Bell, helping back out like a 962 that he was about to run up the hill. Wild shit. And then I was talking to Von Gittin Jr. like 5 minutes later. It's like, oh, this is crazy. And then there's Adam Carolla's fucking Datsun being backed out. And then, there's an old Colin McRae rally car you can hear in the distance. Are you fucking? And then I went up in a chopper and saw a P51 Mustang do passes past. Like, bro, come on now. Festival of Speed is absolutely, I understand why Revival and Members Meeting sound absolutely unbelievable. But I don't see how. I saw Nick Mason of Pink Floyd, the drummer for Pink Floyd, drive an Auto Union, so pre-Audi, Type C race car up the hill. My favorite car was a Ford Galaxy. Period. I was blown away that was going up the hill.
I love to see like Mercury Comets, Galaxies, that type of shit, like competing against the British cars of the era. They look gargantuan, and they're just like, they fucking lift a tire, like everything's got crazy body roll and they slide through the corners. That shit is sick.
There's a video of Tom Christensen, you know, Mr. Le Mans, driving a Galaxy. I think he was in a Galaxy at a Revival a couple years ago when they do like the Fords versus, it's like Galaxies versus Minis or some shit.
Right.
And he is just slicing the field apart in a Ford Galaxy. It's the crazy coolest fucking shit. I love it. For me, even though the question was directed at Ron, I've never been to an F1 race. I've never been to a NASCAR race.
Dude, we got to go to Vegas next year.
Oh yeah, that would be good.
It's gonna be a weird experience, but a Saturday night race, like that is made for Vegas. Like that will be a
when
weekend.
Is it?
We got. I want to say it's in October, November of next year.
We might have to mark that one on the calendar ahead of time.
100%, 100%. We got to fucking max that shit out.
That might be dope as fuck. I would like to go see a World Rally race. I would like to see Dakar. I actually never have been to a actual Baja race, but I've been to Baja, driven on the course. So there's tons of shit I want to see. I want to see fucking tractor pulls. I've never been to monster trucks.
Oh my God.
What? Actually, fuck you. What? I'm supposed to go to monster trucks.
hold on. I think I invited you and then you took days to get back to me. I don't remember how it worked. Maybe it took days? More than 3 hours.
Was it days or was it?
I don't know, man.
Dude, I told my daughter we were going to see monster trucks.
God damn it. Okay, and that's it for this week, folks. Goodbye.
No. Last question. Cooley156. What's the worst reason, done or heard, for selling a car? I sold a car for needing new tires. I get it.
Yo, depending on the car, like that could be thousands of dollars. Like,
yeah, I get it.
I
don't because I get free tires, but I get it.
Oh shit! You got a sponsorship?
No, I'm a journalist who gets free shit. Like. I have a connection at BFG who's like, do you need any BFGs or Michelins right now? I'm like, I don't. Wow. But they just came out with like Defender 2s, which is like I don't know, some kind of tire that I'm like, we can throw them in my wife's car and I'll do a story about them.
Technically,
and then Stein always asking if I want tires. And
technically, so. I have a Michelin BFG sponsorship as well.
But don't you also, don't you guys work closely with Toyo?
No. Well, yeah, but I don't. I mean, the company does, but that doesn't apply to me. I mean, okay. My shit is separate. But no, Larry Chen volunteered my Mustang and Vin's NSX for a Michelin BFG ad last year. And in return, we got paid. Thanks, y'all. Appreciate it. Because it literally took... It cost as much to get that car on the road as they paid me for it. And then they also gave me an extra set of tires. It was like, oh, okay, you want the car at your shoot? Well, this is how much it's going to cost to fix and make it run. And it barely ran. We got through the shoot. But, yeah, I got another set of tires out of the deal. I got a set of Michelins for the Audi. So shouts out Larry Chen. Shouts out Sweatpants Media. Shouts out Michelin BFG. Thank y'all.
Vredestein might want this in like a something.
Hell yeah.
I'm like, hey, it looks good from 10 feet. Don't do close-ups. No, the lower
it's
part
honest,
of the car is
man.
Fine.
That car is honest. It's like clearly original where they would paint. It's not fucked up.
No, where they would shoot close-ups on the tires anyway, like the paint lower on the body, like not direct overhead paint, is actually better, so it might work. And I fixed the rear window. Well, I fixed the rear window anyway, so it's fine now.
It's up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I pulled the switch and cleaned the switch. It was like the
dumbest
shit.
Oh, that's right. You said that.
Yeah. But that's it. I'm going to save it. I had it on the list, but I want to save it so we can talk about it more next week. Lemons.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Land Rover Trek.
Fuck yeah.
Two-time media winners. I am like hounding their PR people that if they do a global competition in the UK, they have to send us. Like,
hell yeah. Hell yeah.
They have to send us.
You've earned it. You're the continental champions.
We fucking smoked. We kicked ass twice. I was going to say smoked ass, but that just sounds good. That's like what a Pantera does. I'm trying to like, and it's funny because the guy who organizes the event, who like works for Land Rover, but he has his own company, but I've met him now on a bunch of these. He's a really nice guy, way into this world. And I mentioned that to him, and he got up. He's like, also, you know, if you guys win, like he said it in front of the PR guy. He's like, yeah, you should definitely send these guys to the UK. He's like, and he like looked over. He's like, wink, wink. He's like, lean on that. He's like, if you email them, don't say you should send us. Say, when are we going?
Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's funny shit. Sean, shout out, Sean. Get this shit. The summit. That's all we got this week. And then I'll have stories
that's all.
For next week. Because I'm going to Mexico this weekend, so
of course you are,
motherfuckers. Yeah, we're going to Cabo, family vacation.
Oh man, you're gonna miss Luke. You're gonna miss Luke, Cole.
I am. I'm okay with that. I've never been.
I'm sort of working. We're launching a new brand, and it's a revival wheel brand. We can talk about it next week when we have
vintage.
Yeah, 90s, 80s, 90s vintage. I mean, I can say the name. It's not a secret. It's Kinesis. Kinesis Motorsports. We have owned the rights to the brand, to the name for maybe 20 plus years. But
we're
bringing it back.
Is that manufacturer specific stuff?
Not necessarily, but it's at least initially it's going to be specific to 80s, 90s chassis vehicles. So it's obviously we're going to launch with like 964, 993. You know, even 930, but we'll have Corvette, NSX, M3, like M5, like the popular kind of track day heroes of the 80s, 90s, early 2000s. We'll have fitments for all of those.
Okay. I was trying to convince my buddy Camille, our East Coast editor, who just bought a Prado, like a 90s. Right-hand drive JDM to get the Rotiform STLs.
Yeah,
that's trying to convince him to get those. He knows someone who works. He's like, I have a friend who works at Wheel Pros and get me wheels all the time. I'm like, who?
Of course he does.
And he said, his name's like Leo or something.
I don't know.
Right. So I'm like, I don't know your guy. I'm like, yeah, I know everybody on, like, I got to find the guy's like actual name. But
I mean, that could be entirely possible, but he's not on my team or the marketing team. So who knows? I mean, maybe he is. I don't know. Like, it's fucked. We hire
it's a big company.
Yeah. There's a lot of, it's a lot of fluidity.
Nice. I got to find this email and be like, I don't know who your guy is, but like, I know a few guys there too, but he's like, yeah, the guy said I can get wheels anytime. I'm like, okay, go nuts, man.
God damn. He's got a hookup I don't have. Shit.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I think he said it cost or something. Let me see. Leo Ventura.
I don't know
Leo.
Is, but...
He's Leo Wheel Dude on Instagram. I don't want to like blow up this guy's spot.
Could. Well, you just did. He could be the president of the company. I wouldn't know.
Because there's like some Motegis my buddy was looking at.
I would say direct all inquiries to me, but I don't.
But I'm going to let him work with his own guy.
I don't even know how this shit works anymore.
I'm not going to get it. I'm not trying to get Rotifor. I'm like, I'm not even asking for wheels. Though with these new Michelins coming, I'm like, maybe it's time to put wheels on the CX-5.
Yeah. Let's go. Slam that shit. Yeah, Camber gang.
All right. Thank you for listening, everybody. We will see you next week.
Appreciate
and I will hopefully be Tanner from, not from Faust, but from Mexico. Two different types of Tanner.